This is Radio Superior 1941, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1941. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the lake station, KUWS. Your friendly neighborhood announcer, Jack McKenna, speaking. It's Saturday night, March the 1st, 1941. Lou Martin is standing by with the 6 o'clock news. The fair and square kids will be in. And hang on to your statuettes. We'll have the rundown on the Oscars for 1941. I'm rooting for Jimmy Stewart as usual.
I like the new guy, Henry Fonda, in The Grapes of Wrath.
Well, we'll find out how all of last year's flicks did after your newscast. And we'll have the best doggone swing music anywhere. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Siegel Brothers. Spring arrivals are here, with top coats starting at $22 at Siegel Brothers in Superior. Have at it, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. Nazi troops have entered the Bulgarian capital. The Jap Navy is threatening Indochina from the Siam Sea. And the fur is flying in Washington over a bill to help Britain called Lend-Lease. We begin our World Shortwave Radio report from Bulgaria.
This is Bulgaria's capital city, Sofia. Your correspondent, Harrison Salisbury, reporting. German troops drove into this city today in gray armored cars, wearing steel helmets and regular battle dress. I watched as they goose-stepped with rifles, gas masks, and heavy packs of battle gear. As if that weren't intimidating enough, swarms of fighter planes winged their way overhead, circling low enough for the cross and swastika to be plainly seen. As soon as the first Nazi troops rolled into Sofia, many German firms unfurled swastika flags. The troops arrived only a few hours after Bulgaria's statesmen signed on to the Berlin-Rome-Tokyo Axis Treaty in Vienna today. This small nation bordering the strategic Black Sea is led by King Boris, who will meet this evening with British Ambassador George Rendell. It's expected that the ambassador, left without any other choice, will notify the king that relations between the two countries will be severed. In Sofia, Bulgaria, this is Harrison Salisbury calling Austria. Come in, Vienna.
This is Austria calling. Alfred M. Schock reporting in Vienna. In the presence of Adolf Hitler, little Bulgaria signed up for a partnership in the Axis military alliance. With the signature of Premier Bogdan Filov, Bulgaria cast her lot with her big ally of the World War. Bulgaria joins Romania, Slovakia, and Hungary as the smaller states which have joined this new world order. On hand were German Foreign Minister Joachim von Ribbentrop, Italian Foreign Minister Count Galeazzo Ciano, and Japanese Ambassador to Berlin, Oshima. Bulgaria's formal adherence to this one-for-all and all-for-one alliance marked another step in the Axis diplomatic offensive to strip Britain of potential military footholds in southeastern Europe. It is expected that German troops moving into Bulgaria will occupy the Black Seaport of Varna, then mass troops along the border with Greece. Greece has routed Italian troops which invaded late last year. This may be the Greek nation's fight for its life. In Vienna, this is Alfred M. Schock. Calling French Indochina. Come in, Saigon.
This is Saigon, Daryl Berrigan reporting. Information circulating here indicate that Japanese naval patrols totaling 51 vessels are in the Gulf of Siam and off the southern coast of French Indochina. The feeling is widespread here that a crisis is looming, but Frenchmen and natives alike await with outward calm the deadline set by the Japanese for Vichy France to allow Japanese troops and ships to occupy part of this nation coming in from Thailand. We've also been told that Japanese War Minister Tojo met with Emperor Hirohito today about this crisis. It is not known what would happen if Vichy turned down Japanese overtures, but the Japanese government has ordered its citizens out of Indochina if these negotiations collapse. In Saigon, this is Daryl Berrigan calling America. Come in, Washington.
This is Washington. Lyle C. Wilson reporting. Isolationist U.S. Senator Burton Wheeler delivered a bitter attack against the proposed Lend-Lease bill before Congress, supported by the Roosevelt administration as a way to help Britain stay afloat in its war against Nazi Germany without requiring payments, the Montana Democrat says the measure would strip our defenses, invite the chief executive to declare war, and create an American dictatorship. And this was a hammer and tongs attack with barbed flings at FDR, Wendell Willkie, who also supports Lend-Lease, and what Mr. Wheeler called the international bankers. In a radio broadcast to the Motion Picture Awards dinner in Hollywood, Mr. Roosevelt declared that the defense of the United States requires America defend democracy abroad, wherever it is imperiled by terror or force. But Senator Wheeler drew on the president's references when he was first elected that, quoting him now, the forgotten man of 1932 will become the unknown soldier of 1942, unquote. The president is hoping for quick passage of Lend-Lease. In Washington, this is Lyle C. Wilson reporting.
The United States is moving to bolster its outposts in the Alaskan Territory and the Philippine Islands. Secretary of War Henry Stimson says that six additional Army and Air Corps units will be sent to Alaska, and two pursuit groups will go to the far eastern Pacific outpost. The action comes amidst increasing tension in the Far East. In Honolulu, Hawaiian federal agents armed with grand jury indictments today put the alien ownership of fishing sampans under the legal microscope. The federal grand jury indicted 80 people, most of them Japanese, and three fishing companies for conspiracy to violate laws governing sampans. The grand jury acted after officials from the U.S. Navy expressed the suspicion that some of the sampan owners were spying on their naval exercises. In a similar gesture showed by President Roosevelt when he greeted Britain's Lord Halifax as the new ambassador to the United States, King George VI broke precedent and personally welcomed new U.S. Ambassador John Winant. It's believed this is a show of unity between the two countries. Ambassador Winant replaces former Ambassador Joseph Kennedy. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:07. Jack McKenna has this message from our sponsor.
At Siegel's in downtown Superior, America's greatest clothing values are prominent at this time of year. Now, spring arrivals, suits, top coats, you'll be proud to wear. Strikingly beautiful, they're superbly tailored from luxurious, long-wearing fabrics. They're the better kind of clothes every red-blooded American has been looking for. Have you got red blood, Lou? This is for you. We've just taken them from their factory wrapping, so you know you have first choice at these very low prices. $22.50, $27.50, $35 tops. Sport coats, camel, tan, or brown, just $11.95. How about that? Contrasting slacks to go with them for $5 a pair. Spring hats, spring shirts, spring shoes. It's all great and priced low at Siegel Brothers in downtown Superior. Lou?
United States engineers will survey the area of Lake Michigan where the steamer William B. Davick went down in the Armistice Day storm last November the 11th. The engineers want to determine if any part of the ill-fated ship remains a menace to navigation off the Michigan coast. The U.S. steamer Peavy will use a wire sweep to grapple the area around Pentwater and Ludington, where it's believed the Davick went down. Operations will begin after the spring thaw. All 33 hands on board went down with the Davick. An aged local couple is back after spending 9 years in a Russian camp. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has their remarkable story.
It is remarkable and harrowing, Lou and good listeners. 9 years of hard work in Russian lumber camps left only one thought with Mr. and Mrs. Matty Rihamaki: to get back to the good old USA. The aged couple got their wish, and they're now settled down on a farm on the banks of the Amnicon River, Glad to be back. They left here in 1932 in the depths of the Great Depression with the ideological zeal of other Finnish colonizers who believed a workers' paradise existed in the new Soviet Union. Like other members of their original group, the Riihimäkis came back here after a hazardous exodus from Russia. They confirmed a report that Matt Tenhinen was sentenced to 15 years of hard labor for treason against the USSR. Mr. Riihimäki says at first they had plenty of good food and clothing while they worked at a horse barn in a place called Karjala. The 69-year-old also said that they were told very little about the Soviet invasion of Finland in 1939. He said all they could see were long lines of trains carrying soldiers and ammunition to the Finnish front. It was before that when food and other necessities became scarce. And unlike the workers' paradise they had believed in, workers had no rights. And the Communist Party officials oppressed farmers and took their land. Again, they say, they're glad to be back, Lou.
Thanks, Mike. A state Senate committee will begin hearings on a bill by Senator Bernard Gettleman. The Milwaukee Republican bill would outlaw the Communist Party. Meanwhile, the state assembly will consider increasing the state's old age pension. Progressive Assemblyman Ben Rubin of Milwaukee says old age pensions should be increased from the current $22 a month to $40 a month. The man who was the foreman of the crew that laid the first water main in the city of Superior has died. 76-year-old William Schlitzer helped build the first water main for Superior Water, Light, and Power Company around 1888. Mr. Schlitzer went on to work for the Superior Police Force for 28 years before retiring in 1921. He's survived by his wife, Helen. And finally, Jack, Barron County has the oldest veteran to enroll in the National Legion Defense. Ansel Goolsby of Shetek is asking to be included in any job the American Legion has in our national defense. He's a member of the Howard Campbell Legion Post, the only surviving member of the Grand Army of the Republic in Barron County. Mr. Goolsby is 92 years old. It was announced that he will serve in the Public Morale Department. Jack?
How about that, Lou? From the Civil War to World War II. Thanks, Lou Martin. Where he gets all of these interesting stories, I'll never know. He'll be back with the news from Hollywood's Motion Picture Academy Awards. I can't wait. But first, our forecast for this Saturday night, March the 1st, 1941. A little warmer tonight and tomorrow as March comes in like a lamb. Not bad. Look for a low tonight of 15 and a high tomorrow near 30 degrees with occasional snow. And let's kick off our Saturday night Martin McKenna show with this very appropriate number from Claude Thornhill and his hit, Snowfall. Can you imagine listening to Clawthorne Hill's Snowfall when it's falling snow? Very nice, on station KUWS. The Android Hotel on Tower Avenue in Superior is not letting the Lenten season cramp its style. They are still serving the biggest smorgasbord in the Northwest, Sundays, from 5:30 until 8:30. All you can eat for just 75 cents at the Android Hotel. And folks, don't forget to take in the ice follies of 1941 tonight and tomorrow at the Superior Municipal Skating Arena. Performances are at 8:15 tonight and 2:15 and 8:15 tomorrow. General admission is 30 cents, 50 cents for reserve seats, and 20 cents for the kiddies. Sponsored by Light Bodies Clothing, the Superior Figure Skating Club, and Bingham Hardware. The ice follies at the Municipal Skating Arena at Belknap and Oaks Avenue. Hey, remember this number from Eddie Cantor? Oh, I bet you do. It's unforgettable. This is Making Whoopee on our Saturday Night Martin and McKenna Show.
Every time I hear that march from Lohengrin, I am always on the outside looking in. Maybe that is why I see the funny side when I see a fallen brother take a bride. Weddings make a lot of people sad, but if you're not the groom, it's not so bad. Another bride, another June, another sunny honeymoon, another season, another reason for making whoopee. A lot of shoes, a lot of rice, the groom is nervous, he answers twice. It's really killing that he's so willing to make whoopee. Picture a little love nest down where the roses cling. Picture the same sweet love nest. Think what a year can bring. He's washing dishes and baby clothes. He's so ambitious, he even sews. But don't forget, folks, that's what you get, folks, for making whoopee. Another year, or maybe less. What's this I hear? Well, can't you guess? She feels neglected, and he's suspected of making whoopee. She sits alone most every night. He doesn't phone or even write. He says he's busy, but she says, is he? He's making whoopee. He doesn't make much money, $5,000 per. Some judge who thinks he's funny says you pay six to her. He says, now judge, suppose I fail. The judge says, but right into jail. You'd better keep her. You'll find it's cheaper than making whoopee.
Google Eyes, Eddie Cantor making whoopee on station KUWS. Ever make whoopee, Lou?
They made a lot of whoopee in Hollywood this week as the Academy of Hollywood Motion Pictures handed out the golden statuettes that they call Oscar to the industry's best.
How'd my guy Jimmy Stewart do? He's my favorite, you know. Did you want to hear me do Jimmy Stewart?
Not particularly. 1,200 movie notables paid as much as $25 a plate at the Biltmore Hotel. They ate filet mignon, they drank champagne, as they heard a radio address from the President Roosevelt. The President thanked them for urging people to do their best in our national defense.
And who got Best Actor for 1941?
The movies are those shown in 1940. The Academy gave the Best Actress Award to Ginger Rogers for her role in the movie Kitty Foyle.
And Best Actor?
Jimmy Stewart got the Oscar for his role in the Philadelphia Story.
Well, how about that, friends? You wouldn't think they'd give it to me, eh? Tell Clark Gable he owes old Jimmy a scotch.
Are you through?
You're just mad because Henry Fonda didn't win.
Well, they should have. He was great in The Grapes of Wrath. But Jane Darwell, who played Ma Jode, won the Best Supporting Actress for her part in Grapes. John Ford won Best Director for that movie, too, all because Henry Fonda played such a great role. You mark my words, that kid will stick around for a while. David O. Selznick won Best Picture in Rebecca, and Best Original Score went to Walt Disney's animated movie, Pinocchio.
Pinocchio, you know Pinocchio, where the little puppet boy's nose grows.
MC Bob Hope called the 13th Annual Academy Award six courses of nervous indigestion. And then the big surprise came. Academy President Walter Wanger elbowed him off the podium to announce a new award for humanitarianism. Mr. Wanger then handed the golden statuette to Hope, who is perhaps best known for benefits that he plays. For once, Bob Hope was speechless. He could only say that I don't feel a bit funny, and then he kissed his Oscar.
Well, that's a good rule, because you see, you can take all your political machines and all of your Senator Paynes, and it doesn't add up to ill beans when you got guys like Bob Hope around.
Yeah. Hey, don't quit your day job.
So here's one for Bob Hope, with his partner Bing Crosby and Put It There, Pal, on the Martin and McKenna Show.
I don't care where I'm going, just as long as I'm with you. Put it there, pal, put it there. I'll be just like your horses, and I'll stick to you like glue. Put it there, pal, put it there. I'm glad you're fooling Pepsodent.
Oh, that happy snow.
Stealing all that cash. I hear your show on Thursdays.
Nice, huh?
What a lot of eggs you smash.
Well, at least I don't depend upon Kelowna's big mustache.
Oh, he gave me the brush.
You're faithful and you're fair.
Put it there.
Skin me that, skin me. You've got that something in your voice so right for selling cheese.
Hustle a lot of this stuff.
Put it there, pal. Put it there.
Put that back in the bowl.
You know, I think your jokes are great.
Really?
It's just that folks are hard to please.
They're just snobs, that all.
Put it there, pal. Put it there. Your face could make a fortune. Just your nose should make a lot.
How do you siphon? I like the way you wear those gaudy colored shirts you've got. Boy, the only time the rainbow ever covered up a pot.
You're such a perfect square.
Uh-oh, is that on the paper there?
Let me see the square.
Big crowd.
Shall we dance?
Sorry, I have my heavy underwear on.
Oh, just to once around to the adrenaline, huh?
Well, okay, if I lead. My colleague.
My crony.
My cohort.
My friend.
Companion.
Confederates.
Chums to the end.
Like meat and potatoes.
Or salt and tomatoes.
Boy, what a blend. Don't put it in the paper.
Don't worry about me.
Don't put it on the air.
I'll finish.
Don't put it in your pipe. Put it there.
Confidentially, do you like this as well as singing?
Leave your name with the girl when you go out. We may get to you for some crowd noise.
Be sure and call me.
All right.
Bob Hope and Der Bingle Crosby, and Put It There, Pal. Hey, folks, stand by for Uncle Bob and the Fair and Square Kids. That means I've got to mysteriously disappear. Let's keep that good feeling going, shall we? Here's Woody Herman and At the Woodchopper's Ball on the Martin and McKenna.
Thank you.
That's Woody Herman and at the Woodchopper's Ball. Let me introduce Uncle Bob and the Fair and Square Kids.
Hello, Fair and Square Kids.
Hello, Uncle Bob.
We had so many boys and girls send in their poems and stories that it was hard to whittle it down to the best this month. If you don't get picked this time, keep on trying. Be a good writer. It's very important. We have Inez Olson of Bayfield, Michael Hennessy of Superior, Alice May Schammer of Kennan, and Robert Wayne Ripley of Hayward to show us if there are any future Oscar winners in our midst. Boys and girls, what's one of the best things we can have, and it's free? Alice May knows, don't you, Alice?
Yes, Uncle Bob, it's a friend.
You go right ahead and read your poem.
To me, something wonderful when I feel sad and blue is to think of a friend to tell my troubles to. After I have a friend and have my troubles told, oh, how much better do I feel, courageous, brave, and bold. For just a few words of cheer to mend my poor, sad heart has made me stop and think of her. I hope we'll never part. The end.
You're my friend, aren't you, Alice?
Yes, Uncle Bob, but there's some things I can't tell you that I can tell my girlfriends.
That's a relief.
There are some things Uncle Bob would rather not know.
Maybe it's time for one of the boys, Lou. It's your...